typically in Kaitzman speak about 20th century thinkers, 20th century Gedolim. And we've spoken over the years about a lot of different people. Typically, we sort of lean a little bit towards the second half of the 20th century, spoken about Rav Moshe, Baron Cutler, Chazon Ish, Rav Huttner, and others, with the Rav. The first time we did it, I think we spoke about Tzadok, who passed away in 1902, so that was a little bit of a scam. But we're talking today, and we're going to begin learning a little bit of the Torah of the Ragachaver. The Ragachaver of Yosef Rosen, one of the absolute giants of the first half of the 20th century. The Ragachaver, we're going to try to do, I think, three things today. One is a bit of a hakdama to who the Ragachaver was. He's a very colorful kind of a person. One is a bit of a hakdama to who the Ragachaver was. Some basic information and basic insights in terms of maisas that they say about him. The second thing we're going to do about the Ragachaver is to speak a little bit about his independence as a thinker. And that's going to relate to the third piece a little bit, which has to do with his with an element of his Derech HaLimud. All again to frame things a little bit. I said this in the past. My father's Zichron Levracha was as a kid, I remember telling me stories about the Ragachaver. Yesterday, actually, I realized in looking at Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin was a Bitam Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, who put out a lot of different Sfarim, was involved originally in Encyclopedia Talmudit and other kinds of works. So Rav Zevin in the Sefer Ishim Vashitos, which is a Sefer on Derech HaLimud of different Rabbanim and different Poskim. So Rav Zevin's discussion of the Ragachaver, so I noticed my father had a Sefer, and I noticed last night looking at it that a lot of the stories that he told us were all from Rav Zevin right there in Ishim Vashitos. So that's certainly a lot there, but very much influenced with the figure and who he was. Now let me begin by saying a couple of things. If you see a picture of the Ragachaver, one already can infer and get a little bit of a feel for his not being a standard or typical kind of figure. The Ragachaver had a long beard. He also had very long hair, very, very long hair. The pictures of him look different than pictures of many others. A lot of different theories as to why he even had the long hair that he had. Something is because in getting a haircut, he'd have to take off his yarmulke. He wouldn't be able to learn at that time. Some things, it may have been some sort of like a medical issue, something may have been personally uncomfortable. Mice is that he would learn, you know, very, very late at night, and he would take his long hair and tie his hair to the back of his chair so that in case he was falling asleep and he fell down, the hair would pull his head back up and he'd be able to learn. You're dealing with a person with an unfathomable sense of Avas HaTorah, but a very much not sort of like standard kind of a figure. In terms of his writing and his personality, he's born to a family. And this is part of, we'll speak about him as a unifier. He is born to a family of, connected to Chabad, a branch of Chabad Hasidus, that he's born to. He's from a very young age understood to be a genius. By the time he's already around Bar Mitzvah or so, he gets sent in somewhat of an atypical move to learn by the Beis Halevi, Rav Yosef Dov Salvechik, and becomes a bit of a Chavrusa of Rav Chaim Salvechik. They had very, very different styles. But at a young age, is there, spent some time by the Mariel Diskin also, and eventually ends up emerging as the Rav in Dvinsk of the Hasidic community in Dvinsk. He's not, strictly speaking, a Chabad Hasid. He is, however, very much, he's the Rav of the of that world, and the Rav of the Hasidic part of the Hasidic part of Dvinsk, alongside the Or Sameach Meshchak, or Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, who is the Rav there of the non-Hasidic part of the community. They get along very, very well. The Ragachaver is known in many ways as being an absolute genius and in many ways an atypical kind of genius. The Ragachaver, they quote that Bialik, the famous author, that Bialik said about the Ragachaver, that from the Ragachaver one could carve out two Einsteins, that the Ragachaver was just this like unfathomable genius. And you see it even in the way that he wrote. His writing is always, it's very, very hard. There are very few people who are really bekiya in the Ragachaver. Typically, at least in my experience, it's more that you'll look it up when you see it quoted, a particular idea. But it's very hard to reference because a lot of this, the writing is, I in this, I in this, I in this. He's not always spelling out ideas the same way. He's more writing like this Gemara and this Gemara and this Gemara. I don't know if you know exactly, you know, sort of where it is. Spoke about this last night in the kind of Hadlakas HaMenorah and the Mikdash. The Gemara says in Yuma it's not an avoda, and the Ragatar will say, no, some hold it is a bit of an avoda. It'll be Rashi. Psachem Nintas, Menachos Kavyud, Tzimur Yagim, or you know, whatever it happens to be, just like the ayins. And you have to then do a lot of work to unpackage it. His work is not as easily accessible sometimes as geniuses in their writings. It's a little bit harder to break things down. Menachem Mendel Kasher, a bit of his son, also spent a lot of time trying to open up the world of the Ragatzover to others because of how challenging it is to understand him, but to open it up, but to explain the references, to explain what he does, use his own kinds of lashonos. We'll speak a little bit later, but it's very, very hard to follow everything which is there. And we have a massive amount of writings of his, most famously and most importantly on Rambam. We have a bit on some of the Masechtas. We have on Al HaTorah, a bit on Mor Nevuchim. The Ragatzover, it's a little bit of a sad story. They had to smuggle out his writings, Kayadua. They weren't able to get it all out before World War II. His successor in Dvinsk and his daughter came from Eretz Yisrael to make copies of all of his writings, to smuggle them out and to send them to America. His daughter and successor, unfortunately, were killed by the Nazis. They weren't able to get out in time because they were so committed to getting out her father and the previous Rebbe's Torah. It gets sent to America, where for a while they have a hard time doing anything even with it. It's very hard to, pictures of it. It was very, very hard to be able to explain it, to find the people that could do it. Happens to be that YU at that point in time, through Rav Kasher, the author of Torah Shlema, set up a machon, no JC people here, but Rabbi Teitz, Zichron Levracha, was the nasty of that, or was ahead of it for a little bit. Also, he's had interactions with the Ragatzover when he was younger. But the Ragatzover is one of these, real geniuses, and his farm get printed, but again, they're very, very challenging. They aren't as accessible for many people. It's more that if you know a shtickle, you hear an idea, you look it up. It's much more challenging to really understand elements of the Ragatzover. He happens to have been also, he was extremely sharp at times. There are some great maisas in terms of the extent to which he was very sharp. I'll share with you a couple just to get a little bit an element of his personality. They say that a person once came to the Ragatzover and asked him for a haskama for his sefer. And they went to the Ragatzover and they said, Rabbi Kiva Eger has Tzarech Ian, the Gilgal HaShas, and I have answered all of the kashas except for four of them. I was able to answer every single other one. Can I have haskama on the sefer? So the Ragatzover says, leave the sefer, I'll look at it. The guy comes back the next day and they stay over. I don't know if it's MS or not, but they stay over. The guy comes in, and the Ragatzover says, "Everyone around, everyone, please stand up for him. We have a chassid person walking in the room right now. You know, here's a person that's knowledgeable. He walks in the room, and the Ragatzover, you know, is mechabin him, v'chule, v'chule. And then the guy says to him at one point, okay, so can I have a scummer for the safer? He says, for the safer, the safer's garbage. He says, so why are you standing up for me? He said, it's a chassid thing to understand four kivagers. Meaning, there was a certain kind of like sharpness he had. Like they say that one time there was a certain Talmid Chacham that came to the Ragatzover, and he came to the Ragatzover to talk and learning. The Ragatzover was dafka very, very nice to him. So the person at the end of the half-hour conversation turned to the Ragatzover and says, you know, I don't understand. I heard that with Talmid Chachamim you're very, very sharp. And he said, with Talmid Chachamim I am very sharp. Okay, and then there was a certain sort of, you know, degree of kifus which he had, a certain really sort of a powerful kind of a style that he was able to be. He was a person who was constantly learning and constantly learning a lot of primary sources. Talking about going through, you know, he would say like on one rack, you know, the Meshech Chachma said about him, the Ragatzover's memory isn't so great. It's just that he just saw it. That he was, you know, when he would travel one way on a train ride, he would say a chazer half of Shas on the way there and the other half on the way back. He was a person with just like unfathomable bikiyas. In particular, we talk about in the world of Gemara, Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Vechulei, was an absolute, absolute giant. And again, a very, very sharp one, a very, very sharp one at that. The second thing about the Ragatzover, in order to frame things a little bit, is he had a very unique style in what he would learn and how he would learn. They write in some of the Sfarim about the Ragachavar, that there's a great book we had a couple of years ago, where I do a bit short, that they write in some of the Sfarim. The Ragachavar was not a person who was quoting a very wide variety of Mekoros. Achronim cannot never come up at all in the writings of the Ragachavar, even by the Rishonim. So he had tremendous commitment to the Rambam. Rambam both in Mishnah Torah, Rambam also in Mor Nevuchim. Rambam again in Perish Mishnah, but he's also, but he's very, very much connected to the Rambam. Other Sfarim, other Rishonim, not even so much. Amongst Achronim, he was at times a little bit harsh, even in the way that he would describe some absolute giants. Professor Mark Shapiro published, they found that in 1933, the New York Yiddish paper interviewed the Ragachavar, and there he even took some shots at the Gra, which is not typically the figure that people go at in terms of, like, you know, where they're at learning-wise. But he really held that a lot of people, even by some of the Rishonim, he would not feel that bound by Rishonim at all. Certainly not by the Shulchan Aruch and Perushim like that at all. They say when he was talking to someone and learning ones, and the guy wanted to bring a Raya from a Taz, so the Ragachavar said, I'll be honest with you, the only Shulchan Aruch I have is like, it was an edition of only the words of Rav Yosef Cairo in like a small kind of a book. They say he had learned Achronim a bit also, but very much not Machshavit, very much not quoting it, and doing so in a way which was very, very harsh at times. In a way which is very, very strong and very, very harsh, and not feeling bound at all the same way. There's a fascinating tshuva of the Sri Deish, Chil Yaakov Weinberg. Sri Deish, one of the giants, one of the great poskim, has some very, very famous tshuvas. He most often gets quoted in certain contexts in his tshuvas about Kol Isha. He gets quoted often historically because he spoke about using tranquilizers on animals before Shechita. He was a rav in Germany before the Nazis took over. Ended up in Switzerland, a very, very chashuv posek, very, very, on a lot of levels, a unique figure also. The Sri Deish in a tshuva, in the first volume, the person quoted the Ragachavar, I was writing to him, and he tells over the following about his interaction with the Ragachavar, and this gives a little bit of a feel for where the Ragachavar was. He says, Ukvar hayali riv gadol im hagonzal, I once had a big fight with the Ragachavar. Those of you that are learning Yevamos right now, there was a woman whose husband passed away. They did not have children, and there were two brothers. There were two brothers. And the Shiloh was, she was a Shomeres Yavam right now. She had to have either Yibam or Chalitza with one of the problems, the brothers. The problem was, Ha'echad Hayim Meshumad, one of them was no longer from, totally, totally off. Vasheni Hayim Be'eretz V'choka. And the second brother was in a very, very far away land. And the Shiloh was, can a Meshumad, can a person who sort of went off, is not connected to Tiyadus, can that person perform Yibam or Chalitza or not? That's a Shiloh. The Hitir Hagon Jatachlos LeMeshumad. And the Ragachavar was Makel, that you were allowed to go to the Meshumad and for the Meshumad to do the Chalitza. V'ani He'asti Panai, V'kasafti LaHagon, says the Ramah, says the Sfidi Eish, I had a shtickel azus. I was a shtickel mechutza. So I wrote to the Ragachavar. I said, "Shadas harama v'chein das nechasim sofer einachein." The Rama nechasim sofer paskin. That's not the din. That's not the din of what we say in a case like this. The Rama Ashkenazim, as they often quote from the pasuk, are yotzim biad Rama. That we're so mech on the Rama as a dominant posek. Chasim sofer. We spoke with chasim sofer last year in Chorach. Chasim sofer is a posek which is, there isn't a world which is not machshuv the psakim of the Chasim Sofer. It says, the Raman, the Chasim Sofer, maybe PM Anuchayim, that they're paskening, that's not the din. You can't do the Chalitza with the Meshumad. Begam Hevesi Rayos lo Divrehem, and I brought Rayas that the Raman, the Chasim Sofer, were correct in their psak. Veskimu imi kol Gedoli Hador, and the Gedoli Hador were with me on this. Vahagon Garbi Benazifa Gedola, and the Ragachavar went back at me very strong in a derogatory way. V'charaf v'gadaf osi ke'echad ha'reikim. He told me it's like I'm rake, empty of Torah. I don't know anything at all. V'kasav alai b'zeh ha'lashon. He said to me as follows. I'm going to change the lashon a little bit. You can go and you can follow the Ramah and the Chasim Sofer. I'm going to go and follow the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. But that's what I'm going to do because that's the actual MS. and he paskin Rakachar paskin, knowing Ramah Sofer, not that big of a deal for me at all. Sof Davar, what did I say? And this, it's an amazing sort of thing here. Amarti l'Rabbani Berlin, where the Shiloh was asked, I told the Rabbani in Berlin, Shehem Mechuyav L'Shmol D'Ragon. You have to follow the Ragachavar. Shehu Gaon Hador, Vani Kenega Kiklipas Hashem. He said, the Ragachavar you don't mess with. I am like the outer shell of garlic. He is the Gaon. Follow the Ragachavar. Avalni Kishala Atmi, but if you're just asking me for real, Lo Eshmelo, can't listen to him. Shein Hach Kamotu, you don't pass him like him. El Mechuyav Ani L'Shmol Rabbeinu HaRamah, Rabbeinu Chasam Sofer, that you're not allowed to do this. He then adds something fascinating. Sof davar, hamishumad lo rata b'shem ofen lachlot. The mishumad wouldn't agree to chalitza. He wouldn't agree to do the chalitza. Ukefi hanira rab as it had gone oath ben hashemayim. It seems like the Ragachavar saw a certain sign from Shemayim here. Shemias chadol levazos osi b'pnei orchem over b'shem. Once that happened, he stopped making fun of me when guests would come and my name would come up. The Ragachavar stopped making fun of me for being an Amaret once he saw that the Meshumar wouldn't do the Chalitza. He says the CDH, it's an amazing thing. V'hago Reb Chaim Moser, Chaim Moser the Achiezer, Vilna. He wouldn't get involved in the Shiloh. Reb Chaim Moser wasn't getting involved. The Achare Shana Merubos, and then after a bunch of years, I said to Reb Chaim Moser, the Achiezer, I said, how come you didn't get involved? The Amr Lishatam Mohaya Sheyari Lamo Neged Hagon. He said, I'm too scared taking on the Ragachavar. Even though I didn't say you argued with the Ragachavar, I felt that you were arguing with the Ragachavar. Even though I didn't say the name, I didn't want to mess with the Ragachavar. I wasn't going to go there at all. So writes the Sri Deish in this tshuva. He writes, to elaborate in the Ragachavar, he says, Siparti calls Elikvoto Rasha. I'm telling you this in the tshuva, according to the Ragachavar, Lomar lo she'ein livnos yisodos al dibri ha'gonza. Don't build too much on the Ragachavar. He was unfathomably impressive. The mices that they say are wild. They say mice once, I think. I mean, they said to him, how many times in Shas does Rabbi Yochanan ask a certain kind of question on Ish Lakish? Ask a certain kind of question on Rabbi Yochanan. The Ragachavar said, I think he said like seven. They said, interesting, because he told me when the Alter Rebbe was asked that question, he held the Alter Rebbe a lot. Alter Rebbe asked a question, he said seven or eight. Ragachavar stopped for a second. He smiled. He said, wow, he's good. Depending on your how you read a particular Gemara, it's a Shaila if in that Gemara, Yochanan was asking, Rabbi Yochanan or not, wow, he was good. 7 or 8. That was very impressive. That he was very much a very original thinker. He wasn't going to battle himself to anybody other than Rambam. Rambam, he held, was it. Everyone else, not really so much. And then the Sweet Ace takes a little bit of a knock. He says, why do you like the Rambam so much? So also had a yachol asila tzav kidusav came as Ram Shosek in a mufaris as nimuka v'tamik. But Tzakam, he says Ram is amazing because he likes it because the Rambam doesn't tell you why he says things. So Ragachavar, even though he's about to the Rambam, only because he can then insert his own kidushim into Rambam. That's the way that he happens to. Later he says the kidushi hagon tzvichem tamid bedika and einam misnagdim ledivir abaseinu harishonim. So lo hashkiach b'hem, he was misyachi so much to them. He was really very very much focused in particular on shitas Rambam. And less focused on anybody else. There's a Maisa, Rabbi Schwartz, there in both an article he wrote in Chakira and the Sefer on the Ragachavar that he quotes. It's an amazing thing because the Ragachavar, you have people here like Chaim Moser and the Svidi Eish who are, and you have people like Bialik, you quoted before, and here Shai Agnon, the Nobel Prize laureate, who wrote a Maisa that he wrote as follows. That at one time I visited the Ragachavar. When the Ragachavar was old and he was very, very sick at that point in time, he was old, sick, and he was suffering. He noticed me, he opened up a little bit and he said, you know, I'm scared. The reason why I'm suffering so much was because I wasn't so respectful of Rishonim. I mean, he had no Havamina because he wasn't respectful of Achronim. He said that because I wasn't respectful enough of Rishonim. Because all my days I spent time working in the Rambam Mishnah Torah. That was my central focus. The other Rishonim, I didn't even learn that much. Even when I learned the other Rishonim, it was only for them to see how they can help me understand Rambam better. That's all that was. And if they say when he was learning with the Chaim as a kid, they would learn Rambam together, and the Beis HaLevi maybe wasn't so happy, but then he wanted them to learn more Gemara, but the Ragachavar and the Chaim both just couldn't get there. They couldn't get away from the Rambam. He then started to cry about all the suffering, and then he yelled out the following. It's an amazing line. He said, you know, I wasn't there for Rashi and Tosfos. I wasn't there for the Ravan and the Ri. What have I done? What have I done? Look how I'm being punished and is suffering so much. Then he stopped for a second. He said, but you know what? All the suffering, it's all worth it. If I'm suffering because I have too strong of a connection to Rambam, I accept my Yisurim Ba'ahava. Ba'ahava, I'll accept all my Yisurim because it's because of my connection to Rambam. It's like a line, maybe we'll speak about this, that they quote in the name of the Rugachover. It's a very, very, a lot, Rabbi Chaim Rappaport from England wrote a long, we wrote a shiggle about this in one of the Chabad journals. But there's a line the Rugachover said, whether he really meant it or not, it's not so clear. It's something also from Father Tommy that the Rug, that quotes this. The Rugachover would learn on Tisha B'Av regularly. How could you learn on Tisha B'Av? What's going on? So it may have been based on the Yerushalmi, but the Rugachover apparently responded. This is Api Rov, Hayabat Tisha B'Av, Nimtza B'Yom Lelato, B'Rugachov. And he would go there and he would learn on Tisha B'Av itself. He would learn during Avelus. And they asked him, how could he do that? He said, it's Usher. The Gemara tells us you cannot learn Shas Avelus. He said, yeah, you're right. Averi Hizo. And when I get punished for my sins, I'll get punished also for learning. I'll get punished also for learning on these days. Aval ni mekabel ba'ava uveratan as a onesh al chetzeh. But I ba'ava uveratan, I don't mind getting punished for more Talmud Torah. I'm willing to be in Gehenna the way some have it. I'm willing to be in Gehenna in the chelik of Gehenna for those that learn too much Torah. I think they say the Chazon Ish said that the Gehenna for those who learn too much Torah is the same Gehenna as everyone has as the other Gehenna. So I don't want to be there. But there certainly the Rugachover had this like very, very intense pull in terms of Talmud Torah. And he was an amazingly unique thinker who was very, very original and therefore shares original psakim. You have things in the Rugachover you don't find from other people. The fact that, however, it's important to say, and I will shift to part number three. One, a bit about his personality. Two, about, which is connected to his personality, but the style in terms of the learning. We'll elaborate a lot of this stuff going forward. But the third piece here, which I think is very important, the third piece here is like this. What kind of an impact does a person like this have? Generally speaking, I would have assumed the impact of a person like this would be minimal. Why would the impact be so small? Because they're not writing in a way which is as accessible to non-major Talmidei Chachamim. It's very hard to learn Tzapaneach and to piece it all together. It's like Rhodes like once said about a certain Acharon, that it's easy to understand the Acharon as long as you know what he was supposed to say in advance. Like if you know what he was supposed to say, then you learn it, you're like, oh, okay, that's what he means. So the Rugachover, it's very, if I know what he's supposed to say, or if Kasher opened it up, then you can look at it and you can sort of like see what's there. But otherwise, it's very challenging. I would have anticipated, would have thought that it would be very, very hard to be able to follow in any real way for him to have that much of an impact for the Rugachover to happen. Nevertheless, it happened to be. There are a couple of reasons why he had a degree of impact, and we're going to speak about one prod in particular that is there. The Rugachover was very responsive. When people would write him questions, he would often respond. Like a genius, so sometimes in intriguing ways, they quote. If you write to him and he was writing on a certain date, you would often write more about the date than he would about anything else. Writing on Yud Aleph Tishrei, he would speak about a Gemara. You know, the answer to the question could be four lines, but the beginning would all be about the significance of Yud Aleph Tishrei, you know, as in the world of halacha. Like he was a very sort of like geniusy out of the box kind of person. He would respond to letters all the time. People wrote to him. He would respond to the Torah from him. A lot he would certainly respond to. And he would write a lot on the side of his napkin. So he wrote a lot, which would definitely help. They say Derech Agav, there's Torah Shebaal Peh. When he would speak, he was actually very, very clear. He was very clear. He would elaborate very, very nicely. But a lot of his writings are very terse and very sharp and very much like that. Where does popularity come from? So aside from the fact that people refer to him with a degree of awe, so there are a couple of things to know. The first is his tshuvas. We have tshuvas saftas paneach, a couple of different editions of those tshuvas. Some of those tshuvas of the Rugachover do get quoted. Some of his psakim get quoted. Sometimes his psakim get quoted and they're more mainstream. Sometimes his psakim get quoted and they are less mainstream, and they're less mainstream. One of the more famous ones, Rav Zevin, Isin Vishito, one day maybe we'll have this, like 10, you know, has an amazing sheet on civil marriage. Maybe we'll speak about it in a while. But the Rugachever, when he was asked, Zevin writes very famously, Mishitos, what do you say Tefilas Derech when you go on an airplane? Because airplanes are created at the time, Tefilas Derech. So he brought a raya from a Gemara in Chulin in the context of Shiluach HaKein that Shemayim is not called a Derech, that Shemayim is not called a Derech in the halachas of Shiluach HaKein, and therefore passing that there is no Tefilas HaDerech when you go fly, because flying by definition is not called a Derech. Flying by definition, the Gemara says Derech is in Aretz. There's no such thing as Derech is Beyam. No such thing as Derech that is Bashamayim. And therefore he held no Tefilas Derech. We don't paskin that way. We do say Tefilas Derech. Again, more or less, we paskin that way. Most of us paskin that way. And we do say Tefilas Derech when we fly. It's very unique on Shita. But if you look through the Sefer, as an example, this morning, I don't love like Bar Ilan searches as a test case for that many things. But just to get a little bit of a feel for it, if you search Piskei Tshuvos, which is the Sefer, we spoke about this, I think, earlier in the year even, Piskei Tshuvos, which is a Sefer working off of the Seder Shulchan Aruch Moshe Brura and Aruch Chaim, with lots of sort of tshuvas of poskim that are quoted there, Tzav HaPenech gets quoted a lot. Tzav HaPenech gets quoted a lot. His tshuvas get quoted a lot. Rav Shechter Shlita quotes without Penech at times, certain tshuvas. He gets quoted, the Rugachever, Tzav Penech, and he has some very, very famous discussions as far as Psak Halacha. He happens to have some very, very famous chakiras also. He has some very famous chakiras. The Shvilei Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman, gets quoted, interestingly enough, in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Emor, and the guys of Kiddush Hashem talks about it even, in a chakir, which is found in other Achronim also, by Yosef Engel, by Rav Cook, by the Rav Nachum Zemba and Zera Avram. It's by variety about the nature of Tzibor and Klal. Is it Tzibor just more people? Or is it Tzibor a new chalos with new dinim entirely? He gets quoted a lot as far as certain chakiras of his, but I don't think you have that many people who are learning it as consistently. And I'm not sure how many people there are who are really bisman hazeh, real bikiyim, bikisvei, the tapas paneach. A lot of his major impact as far as nowadays, aside from those in the world of psak that are familiar with his tshuvas are also hard to read, aside from those who are, and he's quoted across the board in his tshuvas, Ravadi quotes up as Paneach, and again, Piskei Tshuvos gets Paneach. He's quoted a lot, and he gets quoted at times in Lumdus with some of the more famous. We quoted one last night, which is a little bit well known, but how Lakas Menorah Shem and Mikdash, three dinim in Menorah of Mikdash. It's an avoda, Ner Ma'aravi, it's a mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah to hadlik, and a mitzvah that would be lit. He has these kinds of ideas. But aside from Rav Kash opening up, the major, major figure associated with the Rugachever, deeply influenced by his learning, is the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Rugachever has a connection to Chabad Chassidus, a strong connection to Chabad Chassidus. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav Alter Rebbe is one of the only Achronim that he speaks with a certain degree of reverence that's there. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, someone even wrote, I believe, their master's thesis on the relationship between the Rebbe and the Rugachever in Derech HaLimud a little bit. There's I think an article written, I couldn't track it down, of the Rebbe and the Rugachever. But the Rugachever had a massive influence on the way that the Lubavitcher Rebbe learned, and that's in one way in particular, which we're going to elaborate on for at least a couple of minutes, because it's a very, very chashuv. It's a very, very chashuv nekuda. There are the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Nachum Mendel. He had shaychus the previous, but the Rebbe Nachum Mendel Schneerson was the one that he comes from a branch of Chabad Chassid, which broke off when the Tzemach Tzedek passed away. There's a bit of a split, so he's connected a little bit more to that world, but a lot of connection. I think there are those who claim, I think, that he may have been one of the people that gave the Lubavitcher Rebbe smicha. There's a maisa that the Tzvi actually gave him smicha also. It's a wild maisa. I don't know if it's true. They say, I said maisa at some point this year, that the Rebbe was in Berlin and needed smicha from someone, so he went to the Tzvi D'Eish, and that Tzvi D'Eish, I don't know if the story's true, but it's an awesome one. Went to the Tzvi D'Eish, that Tzvi D'Eish couldn't have smicha. So the Eish said, well, we want like a program here. You know, it's like a multi-year kind of a program. Like, I can't give you smicha for tomorrow, but the Rebbe needed it like right away for some technical legal thing. So Rebbe said, how about I make a deal with you? So they said, maisa over. Choose any sefer from your library. You can give me a bechina on it tomorrow. If I do well on that, can I have smicha? He said, sure. So apparently, the Eish wrote a kuntres on pinoy atzamos, the halachas of moving graves after they pass away. So he gave it to the Rebbe. The Rebbe the next day took the bechina and got smicha to the age. But some of them say that's okay. But the Rebbe may have had the top of Paneach. Also, the Rebbe was very much influential in that kind of a way. There are, and this is part of a derech l'mizkash. We're going to have one, I think, about the top of Paneach and Reb Chaim, about the way they learned in a bit of a different way. But introduce one kind of an idea, because I think it's what the Rebbe identified as being very significant in the Rugachever. he thought the Iker Chizus and Raga Chavra was not the incredible Bekiyas, although his Bekiyas in Gemara, you know, was really wild. Was really wild. Dafka Gemara was the basis through which he viewed things. They say that when he would, even we make the joke about this. He obviously knew Tanakh, but when quoting Pesukim, he would quote Pesukim and say, in the Gemara Bava Basra, the Pasuk says, because it was through Gemara like that. And that sometimes once he misquoted the Pasuk, and the person said, no, the Pasuk says like this, he said, no, when the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, the Gemara quotes it the way that I said it. You know, and that was like very much through Bavli. But in general, one finds something which is a little bit fascinating. I'm going to speak in broad generalities right now, in broad generalities right now. In general, I think that there are those who very much highlight the different areas of Torah. Those who highlight, as you know, we know that the Gemara we quote sometimes of Isser and Mammon and Tumah and different areas of Torah of Isser Mimono, Lo Yalfinan, Isser Mitumah, Lo Yalfinan, different areas of Torah. We've quoted many times the Tshuva of Chasam Sofer that mixing together Halacha and Agada is a violation of Kilayim, is a violation of Kilayim. A prohibited mixture that halacha is good and agada is good, but mixing them together is not considered to be okay. We know that many of the posts can point out the comments of the Talmud Yerushalmi and Maseches Peah, but in lemaidin min haagados, that we don't learn halacha lemaisa from agadata, and agadata has its thing, and lumdus has its thing. I believe that whatever correct, I think it was Simon once said, or driving back from a wedding, and this honestly was a conversation. So Simon said that Professor Chaim Soloveitchik pointed this out a lot, that if you look in the writings of the Alter Rebbe, in Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and this is true in general, that you often have a lot of people who are huge mekubalim ba'alei machshava and huge ba'alei halacha, but when you're learning one of the Sfarim, you can't tell about the other one. That if you're learning Shulchan Aruch HaRav, you can't tell that he was a Hasidic Rebbe the same way. Whether that's really true or not, we'll leave to, you know, to those who are greater Bekim and Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and especially Hilchos Talmud Torah, some of the influences of it. But it's quoted by Mishnah Berurah all the time. It's a standard halacha sefer. When you learn, you know, the Kutei Torah, so you see a different side. You see a different side of him. Now, the Rav Shavar did hold a thing about the Rebbe Rashab, that if you learn his Ma'amarim and Chassidus, it's clear he was a Gon Atzim and Nigla. That you can tell sometimes, but it was a little bit separate, you know, in that sense. You can't really tell the difference. Among some people, there's a Shaila. How much did one of the areas of Torah influence their other areas of Torah? Two of those people, of which there's major machloksim about how much they're integrated, Ma'amarim published on this. One is Rav Kook. Rav Kook's Machshava and Rav Kook's Psak, are they interconnected, or was Psakim normal, sort of classic Psakim, his Machshava, his unique kind of Machshava, the interaction between them? And it comes up also, I think Eli Fisher wrote about this as far as Sfas Emes goes. In Sfas Emes and Shas, can you tell it's the same person who wrote Sfas Emes in Al Torah? Are there Sfas Emes and Shas, it's a regular Acheron, or it has some of the Chassidus there? Talk about certain Shailas where the same Kasha comes up, answered differently in Sfas Emes and Shas, answered differently in Sfas Emes and Chumash. Different people have their own kinds of styles. So you have some who it's a clear distinction. Chasam Sofer, God, even though he himself may have been a little bit more, but the Kilayim model, you have some who it's not so clear. The Ragachavar was the way that the Lavachavar used to say it was Mevatel Mechitzos. He was Mevatel Mechitzos. It's all interconnected. It's all of Torah is interconnected, playing down Isura Mimimona Lo Yalfinan in a certain sense. If I want to bring a riot, Hilchos, Tefilas HaDerech, I can bring a riot from Gemara and Chulin about you, Luach HaKin. I have to know everything in order to be able to connect it. Not only was it all of Torah's interconnected, but he does, this is where he gets very challenging, the world of Mora Nevuchim and the world of philosophy influences the way he's going to talk about certain kinds of lumdas. Certain kinds of lumdas. It's all going to be impacted by it. And the world of Machshava and Pnimiyas HaTorah is also going to be impacting the way he looks at certain kinds of ideas and certain areas of learning. It's all in many ways interconnected. Baba Terebi, in Likutei Sichos, it was a unique capacity, different realms of Torah, but even in the world of Halacha, to be able to identify, you know, Rav Schechter often speaks about in the context of Derech HaLimud, gave a shmuz in NYU last week. He's written about it in a bunch of places, most recently published in the new Torah web book with Rav Schechter of Tversky. Rav Schechter writes a piece about this in terms of, I think, making a farce of Halacha, I think is where he writes about this, or Derech HaLimud, I forget where he writes about it. But Rav Schechter points out that one of the things you do in Derech HaLimud is you have to gather all the data, you gather all the information, and then you try and figure out like which points are interconnected. How does everything fit together? Which points are separate from individual points, and which points are interconnected? The Sefta tells us, Kol Torah Kula Inyan Echad, Torah is interconnected in a certain sense. Baba Chirevi says the Raga Chavra was uniquely gifted at being able to look. Often you have different halachas, and it looks like they are entirely separate, with no nothing connecting them. Ubecholzos, Kevin says, "Oh, Torah, he Torah achas." Nitan, you can often find limso nekuda mishutefes beneihem, the point which is miyached all of these things and how they're really connected. Fishin motzim b'sefreim shal gedol Yisrael, many gedol Yisrael b'frat miyuchad etzel hagon haragachaver, the ability to identify underlying yisodos that in a very, very sweeping way are able to explain and able to connect a lot of different nekudas and a lot of different points all there. So the Rebbe's lambda is impacted by Tavas Paneach, and one of the poles is to be able to unite a lot of different things together. I'll give you an example of this, and we'll speak a little bit more about maybe Derech HaLimud. But the Lubavitch Rebbe was certainly very much influenced by this. The mechitos of breaking it down. That is why Derech Agav, I'll give you a shot in the video, I think, that came out a month or two ago, which this is a ridiculous thing I'm going to say in a minute. But that's why, that's one of the reasons why in Chabad Chasidus, they're very into Encyclopedia Talmudit. The Encyclopedia Talmudit put out by Rav Zevin, who also had a relationship to Chabad. So Rav Zevin, it's about, what's that? What's Encyclopedia Talmudit? It's about taking a topic and bringing everything together. It's a sefer which is on different halakhic topics to collect discussions of everything. And in many ways, the Babich Rebbe, when Chabad speaks pro Encyclopedia Talmudit, one of the reasons why they're speaking pro, that's part of the Rebbe's belief in Derech HaLimud, of uniting all different points and bringing them together, and that's an influence, certainly, of the Raga Chavra also. That's why Derech Agav in A.B. Rotenberg Journeys, the newest volume, has a video with Benny Friedman. In the video, Benny Friedman, who is a Chabadnik, Benny Friedman, as part of the video, falls asleep learning a Sefer. What Sefer does he take off the shelf? Encyclopedia Talmudit, because that's a Sefer which is very popular in Chabad Chasidus. That L'chora is why he takes it off the shelf. But that's a Rugachover connection also in terms of the being miyached it all together. It's true. It's MS. It is. I didn't confirm it. I'm just saying it is. And that is that's one of the things which is very much there. This idea of it being Torah achas, The way the Rebbe said in one place, Limso hamashutav shebeinyan pratim zeh shebetorah in od pratim, to find the connections, the underlying yisodos, haklal v'hageder hama'achdim, the way that things come together. At the same time, as he's about being miyached, this is part of the skill of the Ragachavar, he knew how to take lots of different areas of Torah and bring them into one. One thing that we saw last night and referenced briefly, he also knew how to take one and to split it into two or three. Rav Kasher has a list of examples. The idea of a two dinim or three dinim, the Ragachavar often had in the world of Lum, there's like a three dinim. There's three dinim to this. There's two dinim to that. Because part of the skill was to find how everything comes together. I can take 10 random things and make them one. I can also take one thing and make it three. That his mastery of Torah in a very sort of unique and powerful way definitely manifested itself. So we are going to Be'ez Hashem be, over the course of this Kayetzman, learning the Torah of the Ragachavar. We're going to be understanding him and his worldview, the way in which he learned, some of the famous Torahs that he shared, to put it in a certain context, to understand who he was. A very, very wild thinker, a legitimate genius. From Ragachavar, we carve out two Einsteins. Now, it was written by a person that was Machshav Einstein. You know, that Erich Chaim Moser had a certain hesitation when it came to that. The Sfidi Eish says you got a Paskin like him. I don't think so. You got a Paskin like him. And the Babel Yushami, that kind of mastery, which is certainly there, that is a big piece of who the Ragachavar was. The Ragachavar is Yadua as an unfathomable genius, as a real, real genius, but a very sort of out-of-the-box kind of a genius, and a very fascinating one at that. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Have a great job. It's Ezra, what's up?